So we're discussing, we started the other day in Chopari Beach discussing a very wonderful section of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 39. And this group of verses that's being will be spoken here is called the Viraha Gita. There are six Gitas in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Some of the Gitas you're familiar with. There's Venu Gita and Brahmar Gita. And there's also Yuga Gita. And then there's Pranaya Gita and Viraha Gita and Mahishi Gita. Mahishi Gita is the queens of Dwarka are speaking in separation from Krishna. And then this is Viraha Gita. Viraha, or Vipralamba, means separation. And the setting is this. This is chapter 39. It's called Akura's Vision, Akura Drishti. That Akura is the uncle of Krishna. And he's come to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura for the Danar Yajna and wrestling match, which has been arranged by King Kamsa, ostensibly for the death of Krishna. He wants to murder Krishna and Balaram by bringing all these powerful wrestlers there, Chanura Mushtika and Toshala and a host of other heavyweight champions, to defeat Krishna and Balaram, because wrestling was a Brajmandal sport. Everyone would engage in this sport. So Akura came on Kansa's chariot, and he's arrived in Nandagram in the evening time, and the gopis came to know about the arrival, and they became extremely distressed. And we had discussed the verse and commentary of Vishwanath on 12 and 13, and they were very just hearing the news. They heard the news that Akura came, had come for the purpose of taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And when they heard the news, they started to break down crying. They were very distressed, and they turned pale. Their faces lost all their color, and they're breathing very heavily, and they're very anguished, and their bodies became emaciated due to the intense pain of in their hearts. They actually shrunk in one sense, and their hair became loose automatically due to their trembling of their body, and their bracelets and dresses were coming undone. So this is a very tragic situation, but the teaching here is about separation. And this hearing these topics, these very strongly, these leelas of the Lord, which involve His most advanced devotees, most intimate devotees, and their most deep feelings of love for the Lord, has a very, very purifying and elevating effect on the heart. And this is the contribution that's been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. He's given this great treasure of the Bhagavatam for all of us to study on a daily basis and to absorb our minds in the teachings and tattva of the Bhagavatam. To absorb our minds in the teachings and tattvas and siddhantas of the Bhagavatam. Srishti tattva, nam tattva, karma tattva, jiva tattva, bhagavan tattva, avatar tattva, das avatar, and this creation, all these different subjects. And ultimately, he's given us the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada has given us the Bhagavatam to immerse our hearts in the hearts of the devotees, to immerse our hearts in the emotions and loving sentiments of the great bhaktas, beginning with mixed bhaktas or mixed devotees like Dhruva, and then Prahlad and Shanta Bhakta, and on to Prithu and Prahlad, and on up the scale, till we finally get to Vrindavan, to the gopis, and their love is called Samartha Rati. Their attachment is full and undivided, completely dedicated to Krishna's happiness, and their hearts are so much saturated with pure prema. It's called Vishuddha. Vishuddha. Vishuddha or Nirmala prema, Nirupadi prema. There's no designation, there's no contamination, there's no adulteration. Everything, they're just saturated. Every part of their heart is saturated with the desire to please Krishna and satisfy Krishna and make Krishna happy. There's no selfishness in their heart, or even a drop of personal consideration for themselves. But in the queens of Dwarka, the Mahishis or Queens of Dwarka, their ruti is called Samanjasa, Samanjasa ruti. Their attachment and love for Krishna, there's some mixture. They want a little bit of happiness for themselves. There's a little consideration of their own happiness, and there's some reservation. There's some reservation, and there's some consideration when they're dealing with Krishna. They have to consider their name or fame or their position. But the gopis, they discard everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Loka dharma, stri dharma, patni dharma, deha dharma, all dharmas are discarded. Arya patam cha hitwa. Hitwa means that they've given up all the aryapat, everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Bejora makunda paravim vimrigyam. Vimrigyam, which is beyond the understanding of the Shrutis. How it's inconceivable to the Shrutis personified how much surrendered and how much dedicated the gopis are. Bejor Makunda Paravim. How much they're absorbed in the service of Makunda. So these gopis, they're hearing the news, they're becoming extremely anguished, and this is where we find. Now we're in Nandagram, it's 5,000 years ago. We're sitting there. Somehow or other, we had the good fortune to sit. We're sitting amongst the gopis, and we're experiencing what we're trying to experience and understand. We're trying to identify what they're feeling. They're about to lose the heart of their body is about to be ripped out of their heart is about to be ripped out of their bodies. Their very prananath, their very life force and energy, their very meaning of their existence is being taken away from them. So it's a spiritually tragic scene of deep involvement, and so we want to dip into this transcendental realm and immerse our hearts in these prakriti bhavs, these transcendental feelings, and it will have a great purifying effect. This is verse 15. Anyascha tad anudhyana divritta shesha vrittaya nabhyajjanan imam lokam atma lokam gataiva. So this is some gopis, they were turning pale and breathing heavily. Other gopis entirely stopped their sensory activities and they became fixed in meditation on Krishna. They lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization. In other words, they withdrew. They were not even, the other gopis, they were breathing heavily and turning pale. They were somewhat expressing their extreme distress and distraught condition was being expressed to their senses. Their faces were becoming pale, sighing and breathing. And other gopis, they were stunned. They were simply stunned. They were immobilized. And there were no sensory activities. They're not seeing, they're not hearing, they're not sighing, breathing, and no color change, nothing. They were just stunned. And they became transfixed. They were just meditating on Krishna. They lost all awareness of the external world. They couldn't. In other words, when you're deeply sleeping, you don't see anything. Do you see? Well, you see in dreams. But the external world, you don't see. You don't even hear sometimes. Someone comes and says, "Hey, wake up. Hey, wake up. Mangalarti." We don't hear, we don't smell, we don't taste. So they weren't sleeping. They were awake, but not awake. Their senses were sleeping to the external world, but all their senses, their eyes, their five senses, grouped around, all the five senses were like they withdrew them, like a turtle. When a turtle or tortoise, kachua, is frightened, then he pulls his hands and his head inside his tail, inside his hard shell, and you just see a rock, it looks like a rock. There's no extremities, there's no limbs, no arm, neck sticking out, like a rock. It's a defensive defense mechanism. So the gopis, they withdrew all of their senses and merged their senses in their mind. Then their thinking processes and their active processes, which are expressed through the senses, became amalgamated in the mind. So there's no more senses. Now the senses merged into the mind. So the thinking and the acting became condensed in the mind. Then the mind submerged into the heart. The mind captured the form of Krishna within it, and submerged into the heart. So now the mind is not functioning, the senses are not functioning, but the mind is functioning. The heart is functioning. The chitta, the heart. And the heart, the eyes of the heart was wide open, and they saw Krishna in their heart, and they embraced him in their heart. So they, because they didn't want to lose him, because the next morning they're going to lose him. Krishna and Balaram are going to be taken out of Nandagram and taken to Mathura, never to return. So that was too much frightening. They didn't want to lose him. So they took him in one glance, and they withdrew from the world, and they entered into the world of the heart, alone with Krishna. Each gopi took Krishna into her heart, and she entered into that heart world. Me and Krishna. There's no Akrura there. There's no Akrura there. There's no chariot there. There's no Mathura. In my heart is the groves of the kunjas of Vrindavan, and I am there, and Krishna's there, and this is the only world I know, and I become completely oblivious to the external world. They entirely stopped their sensory activities and became fixed in meditation on Krishna. This is the process of how they did it, which shows that they're great yogis. They're the greatest yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham man gatanay taratva shadavan vajadeyoma samayukta tamomataha. Because they're yukta. The gopis are yukta, yukta atta, atma. Their atma is yukta, is totally connected with Krishna. No one is more connected to Krishna than the gopis. Mind, body, senses, everything. Totally one with Krishna. And that divine unity, that unity of the gopis with Krishna is celebrated in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the gopis, when there's one gopi, is Radharani. When the one becomes many, it's the Ashtasakhis and all the gopis. When the many become one, eko bahu sham, that one Radharani becomes many gopis. The many gopis become one. And when that one Krishna and that one Radharani come together, they become Mahaprabhu. So this Mahaprabhu is the amalgamated form of all the gopis. So this is what happened. They gave up this world and took Krishna in their heart. Krishna, you're not going. We're not letting you go. We've trapped you. We've trapped you in the cavern of our heart, in the cave of our heart. It's a very beautiful scene. This is their desperation. They're desperate. A great calamity is about to befall them the next day. The world is about to end, and they don't want it to end. It says they appear just like those of Chief Self-Realization. It says, Atma Lokam Gataiva. So they were the greatest self-realized yogis, because they captured the supreme form of God in their heart in a loving embrace of divine rapture. They don't want the world to end. Often people do that. Even animals, they have animals like this in Africa. It's called ostrich. Africa or Australia or something? Australia. Ostrich. It's a big bird, has long legs and a big body and a long neck. And when he sees some kind of difficulty, some tiger comes to eat him, then he looks for some hole in the ground. And it's danger. Toom. And he puts his head in the ground so he can't see the danger. So now, okay, I'm safe. My head is in the hole. So I'm safe. There's no more danger. Out of sight, out of mind. So he was out of sight of the tiger, but pretty soon he was in the belly of the tiger. The tiger ate him. So the gopis, they don't want to lose sight of Krishna. They don't want to lose Krishna. They don't want their Krishna to be devoured by the tiger of separation represented by the form of Akrura. Akrura means not cruel. Akrura. It's interesting because the Sanskrit word krura means cruel, bad, or vicious, or what do they say, merciless. But he's very cruel. He's the most cruel. He's acting like a vicious tiger to devour Krishna, to annihilate Krishna from their lives, to destroy Krishna. He's terrible. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains how these different verses are indicating the different gopis, how they reacted. How did the different gopis, there's the paksha, the vipaksha gopis, which means against my group. Vipaksha, again, paksha means group, my group, paksha. Swapaksha means my group, my own group. Radharani has her Swapaksha gopis, her own gopis, her friends, her sakis, Lalita Vishaka, the Ashta sakis, Champak and Chitra, Induleka, Rangadevi, Sudevi, like this. Then there's Vipaksha, the anti, or the rival gopis, the anti-party. My party and the anti-party. So the anti-party are the rival gopis. They're trying to catch Krishna and take Krishna away from me, like Chandravali, Bhadra, Shaibya. These are the Vipaksha, against my group. So this verse we spoke about, that one gopi acted like a yogi. She acted like a yogi. She refused. No, it can't be. No, it can't be. They can't. What is this? They're going to take, Akura is taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. It can't be. It can't be Krishna. And she just took Krishna in her eyes and put him in her heart and just, like the ostrich. She stopped functioning. No, the world doesn't exist anymore. There's no Akura. There's Krishna. There's my heart. My heart is open. I fixed Krishna there. This is samadhi, the complete samadhi, complete intelligence, samabhuti. Samasta buddhi means samadhi, samadhi, di means buddhi, complete intelligence. All my discriminatory factors, all my discriminatory faculties, all my perception, everything I've collected, I've collected everything, and I've gathered all of that around one point, one object, one person, Krishna. And I've wrapped my buddhi around Krishna. I've wrapped my heart around Krishna, and I've locked him in my heart. This is called Prem Samadhi of the gopis. Gopis Prem Samadhi. Krishna is locked in their heart, and their he's wrapped by their intelligence, all their discrimination, all their thinking. Everything is wrapped around Krishna. He can't escape. Then they close their eyes and they stop all their external sensory functions. The world, if you close your eyes and stop all your external functions of your senses, the world doesn't exist, because we only perceive the world or interact with the world through our senses. If you have no senses, how much of the world can you experience? Like a blind man, how much does he experience? Not much, only sounds. But that's something. He's hearing but not seeing. But what if you plug his ears? Now he's not hearing. What if you cut off his hands? He's not touching. If you cut and you plug his nose, he's not smelling. And you tape his mouth, he's not tasting. So how much of the world do you experience if you have no senses? Nothing. No senses, no sense experience. So if you don't experience the world, it doesn't exist. There's no world. So they stopped all their sensory activities. Or this particular gopi that's being described, she became a great yogi, like a turtle. She withdrew everything. The turtle, when it's fearful, withdraws everything in its shell. So she withdrew all her senses into the mind, her mind into the buddhi, into her intelligence into her chitta, and Krishna is wrapped up in there and fixed in her heart like the greatest of yogi. That's what the verse says. And who is that greatest of yogis among the gopis? Chandravali. This verse, number 15, describes the prema of Chandravali and other gopis. Absorbed in meditation upon Krishna, the gopis' senses stopped functioning. They lost all connection with their bodies and the world around them. The gopis resembled persons who have realized the super soul in the sense that they lost all awareness of their material bodies. However, the Braja gopis were not impersonalists or jnani yogis, because they were actually relishing the sweetest taste of pure love of God, Krishna Madhurya Prem. The taste of Krishna Prem is completely different from the Brahmananda, the bliss of Brahman. Krishna Prem is like gold, and Brahmananda is compared to glass. The bliss of Brahman is like a piece of glass. Kach. But the bliss of Premananda, Krishna Premananda, is like gold. 200 carat gold. Very extraordinary gold. 200 carats, or 108 carats. So this is verse 15. This is Chandravali. She's a great yogi of love, yogi of devotion. She's a devotional yogi, yoginam api sarvesham. Krishna says, of all the yogis of devotion are greatest. So here's a yogi, Chandravali yogi, yogini. Yogini Chandravali, who is in the anti-party, Vipaksha Sakhi, she's the bad guy, the bad gopi. She's also a good gopi. She's Radharani's sister. Technically cousin sister, but because she's Chandrabhanu's daughter. So this is, we were hearing about Vipralamba, or the potential of Vipralamba's separation.